For those of you who don't know me, I'm Pastor Gary Richard, and I spent about 13 and a half years of my life in Ridgeville Corners, about 100 years ago, it seems like, so it was a long time ago. And I also see this morning we have some guests from the Detroit area that are part of the HARP team that goes down to Appalachia every year. We have the people here from Orphan Grain Train, Ohio. It's exciting to have people in mission in one spot together to worship our Lord, and so grateful for that as well. I know that there's a few things you guys need to know, but the important thing you need to know is you look at the back of your bulletin, and all of the stuff that's happening at Zion this week is there, okay? But I also know that, oh, I'm supposed to tell you the portals of prayer, the new ones, are in, okay? And you know what to do with that. Diane would like to say a few words.
All right. First of all, before we get to our announcement, I have something special for the children. Been waiting patiently on these.
I haven't.
Not real patient. You're gonna have to help remind me who gets which one. They pick these out. And I think they're really important, the messages that are on here. This one says, "For God so loved the world," John 3:16. Who picked this one? I think it was Violet.
Yeah.
I remember that one. Okay. And then we've got this one that says, oh, I know who picked this one too. "God gives me strength. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me."
I want strength.
And then, "God is faithful. The Lord is faithful. He will establish and guard you."
I think that's right.
Yes, I know it is. I'm remembering as I'm reading them. And then, glow. "God lights our world. Walk as children of light." And I think actually if they pick these out, those Bible verses fit each one of them really well. And this is the one I picked out. "Walk with Jesus. I am with you always." So, kids, I wanted you to have those, but I shouldn't have given them to you yet. Could you just put them on the ground for right now? Because they're going to help me with the actual announcement that I wanted to make. So, we're doing this about a week early. In March, our Sunday school offerings are going to be for the Lutheran Bible translators. And we have typically, in March, that's a district Hearts for Jesus theme. So we're doing that this year. So the kids, two things are going to hand out as you leave today. One is a Valentine for you that they made. And then this is, who knows what this is?
M&M's.
I knew Jeff would know that instantly. So there's M&M's in here, and they want you to enjoy the M&M's. Just eat a couple a day. Don't eat them all at one sitting. And then there's a message on here that they're going to tell you a little bit about what that message says. They have a script. Okay.
Help us during March. Hearts for Jesus.
Our Sunday school offering will support Lutheran Bible translators.
Lutheran Bible translators help put God's word in different languages.
So many people
will be able to read God's word. See you at the church for more details.
God loves you, and so do we.
That's the message. All right.
And if you would all please stand as we sing our opening hymn, number 425, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross."
When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins,
God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We read responsively Psalm 112, verses 1 through 9. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord,
who greatly delights in his commandments.
His offspring will be mighty in the land.
The generation of the upright will be blessed.
Wealth and riches are in his house,
and his righteousness endures forever.
Light dawns in the darkness for the upright.
He is gracious, merciful, and righteous.
It is well with the man who deals generously and lends,
who conducts his affairs with justice.
For the righteous will never be moved.
He will be remembered forever.
He is not afraid of bad news.
His heart is firm, trusting in the Lord.
His heart is steady. He will not be afraid
until he looks in triumph on his adversaries.
He has distributed freely. He has given to the poor.
His righteousness endures forever. His horn is exalted in honor.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. To God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth.
Lord God, heavenly King, almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory. Lord Jesus Christ, away the sins
with the Holy Spirit, in the glory of God the Father. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O Lord, keep your family, the church, continually in the true faith, that relying on the hope of your heavenly grace, we may ever be defended by your mighty power through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
Please be seated. Our Old Testament reading for this morning is found in Isaiah 58, verses 3 through 9. Why have we fasted, and you see it not? Why have we humbled ourselves, and you take no knowledge of it? Behold, in the day of your fast you seek your own pleasure and oppress all your workers. Behold, you fast only to quarrel and fight and to hit with a wicked fist. Fasting like yours this day will not make your voice to be heard on high. Is such the fast that I choose? A day for a person to humble himself? It is to bow down his head like a reed and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him. Will you call for a fast and a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the feast that I choose? To loose the bonds of wickedness? To undo the straps of the yoke? To let the oppressed go free and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover him and not to hide yourself from your own flesh? Then shall your light break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up speedily. Your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, "Here I am." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our epistle reading today is from 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit of power. And your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Yet among the mature we do impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age, who are doomed to pass away, but we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the Spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he's not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the Alleluia verse.
Alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia, Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 5th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt loses its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand. And it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Lord.
I'd like to invite the children up for a children's message right now. And as I told Diane earlier, and a few others of you know, I had back surgery about 6 months ago. I don't just pop up off the floor very quickly. I'm going to sit on this step. If it looks like I'm struggling to get up, just reach up and help me get up off the floor, okay? You kids, you're big enough to help me do that, okay? So, I don't want the chair. I don't want the chair. I want to sit down with the kids. I'll be fine. I just want to watch you lift me up off the floor, Jeff. Can I come sit right between you? All right. That's how old men move. Well, you're going to have to pick up about three times that. But thank you for that, right? So I brought something with me today. Anybody know what this is?
Light.
It's a light. It's a flashlight, right? If you push that button right there, I'm going to kind of do it out that direction so I don't blind anybody, myself included, right? Yeah, right? Now, what's a flashlight do? It helps us see in the dark. It helps us see in the darkness and in the world. It does the job of shining light. That's what flashlights do. Well, God is the light through the darkness. That's right, but we're also the light. We just read that gospel reading, and Jesus says, "You are the light." Each one of you is the light. That's why when you came up here earlier and you talked about coming and putting the money into the little tubes where the M&Ms are and bringing it back, you're shining the light of Jesus to other people. By helping Lutheran Bible translators, you're helping the Bible get translated into other languages around the world so other people can know. Our job is the same as the flashlight, right? We have to shine light, and in this world, we need to shine God's light, which, by the way, God's word, always true. Always look to the scriptures. If you're looking for truth, look in the Bible, okay? In Matthew 5, verse 16, it says, in the same way as this other light, let your light shine before others. Don't hide it under a basket. Don't stick it under, oh, by the way, what does the light need to work?
Batteries.
So how do we get energized when we have to be the light?
By praising
God, by reading the scriptures, right? By coming to church. Hopefully you learned something from the message today that you can use to energize your...
There's two different types of lights. One battery powered and two oil.
Well, there's oil powered, yeah, but we need to fill up the tank either way, right? We either have to put new batteries in or we have to fill up that oil tank with something useful to make light. So we want to be able to help share God's light, spread God's light around the world. And did you catch God's word when I read it earlier? Why do we have to shine light? Why do we have to be the light?
So other people can see in the dark.
So other people can see in the dark. That's really good. Did you practice that? Did you know what I was going to talk about this morning? Because it seems like you might have, right?
I put these bookmarks in the book so I follow what you're saying.
Ah. That's awesome. He uses his bookmarks. Diane, it's a good thing you make those bookmarks. It's awesome, right? All right, so let's all pray, and I'm going to have you all repeat after me. Congregation, please join us as well. Dear God,
dear God,
thank you
for
working in us,
working in us.
And giving us a light to shine.
And giving us a light to shine.
Use us to help others.
Use us to help others.
And by our help.
And by our help.
Let them see you.
Let them see you.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, now I'm going to need some help. I need that white bag from right over there. Can one of you get that for me? Because I have a gift for these kids today. Because, well, I think this is going to be awesome that they get to shine God's light, each one of them. You saw those at before church. Okay, well. And Miss Diane is going to come up, I believe, and the kids are going to actually sing a song for you. So I'm going to give you a light to shine too, okay?
However, I was going to ask them to give them to me for right now.
Oh, I thought they were going to use them in the song. Shine their light.
We have a different gospel light.
You have a different gospel light. Okay. All right. Would you stand right up here, buddy? The kids are going to sing for you, okay?
This little gospel light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little gospel light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little gospel light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine all the time. Let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No! I'm going to let it shine.
We're going to continue our worship now by singing Thy Strong Word, number 578. 578. Breathing breath. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Well, I had this great plan for how I was going to start my message today, and then I remembered the last time I preached here was in October of 2014. It was a Mission Festival Sunday, and I came to talk to you about the mission in Appalachia and some of the other things that were going on in the world at that time, and several of you joined on with that mission. And when I went up to the Detroit area, several people there jumped onto that mission. And Randy Rorsch can tell you, if you remember that day, I preached so long you had to get a second cassette in the machine to record the whole thing, right? You remember that? Yeah, that was a while ago. I promise I will try not to be that long this morning, but I think it is important to note that when we are serving God and we are being the light to other people, it involves service. Service in his kingdom and service to each other and service in shining Jesus' light to people that we encounter. So I'm going to begin with the question now and get into the kind of the real meat of what I want to say this morning. Why is it that when the weatherman says there's a big snowstorm coming, everyone runs to the store and buys milk and bread and eggs and toilet paper? And when the pastor tells you Jesus is coming, and it's urgent because he's coming, we just don't know when, they all just sit there. Nobody wants to go tell somebody else about Jesus. And these two events, of the two events, the snowstorm, it's an inconvenience for a few days. The other event, Christ's return, affects our entire eternity, and yet we give it little more regard than if Farmer Brown's chicken just laid another egg. No big deal. He hasn't come back yet. He's not coming back today. Well, he might come back today. He truly could. In fact, there's been days when I've woke up in the morning and been in pain or had something going on, a big something at the church or a big something in my own life, and went, today'd be a great day for Jesus to come back. Tomorrow's looking pretty good too. Yesterday would have been wonderful. That's the kind of excitement we kind of need to have is, today'd be a great day to meet Jesus and get to spend all eternity with him. And yeah, Jesus is coming. We all need to be ready for that. We all need to tell others about Jesus. We need to help others know Jesus, his love and his grace, and that salvation comes only through him. And that's why in today's gospel lesson, Jesus tells us quite clearly, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. It's interesting, he doesn't say, well, try to be salt. He doesn't say, attempt to be salt. He says, you are salt. One of the main seasonings we use in our food. One of the main things people kind of connect with, because we all like a little salty once in a while. You ever eat popcorn without salt? It's corn. Well, salt on our food. He says, you are. And when God himself says that you are salt, you are light, well, you are. You need to be those things. And because if we're honest, when we hear these words, our instinct is to turn them into a command. Jesus says, you have to be salt. Or you have to be light. No, he doesn't say that. He says, you are. You already are because I made you to be that. At your baptism, when you're joined with Christ, he makes us to be salt right that moment. He makes us to be light right at that moment. Be useful. Be visible. Make a difference. And that all sounds like commands coming from God. And then these words start to feel like pressure. Am I being salty enough? Am I shining in enough light on others? And the pressure can just wear you down sometimes. Like Jesus is handing us a job description and we're afraid we'll fail the test. You can't fail this test, really. Jesus says you're salt. He says you're light. Be salt and light. What does that look like? I don't know. It looks different for every person. It looks different in different locations. It looks different on different days. Some days I don't feel very salty. Some days I don't feel like a very bright light either, okay? But Jesus isn't laying a burden on his disciples when he says this. He's telling them who they already are because of who he is and what he has already done for them, what he's already done for you. And he says, you're salt and you're light. And what happens when salt loses its saltiness? It says in the gospel reading. Just trample it underfoot. It's useless. Non-salty salt is not good for anything. When Jesus says salt that loses its taste is good for nothing. That sounds like a warning, kind of just aimed straight at us. Right? Oh, man, I haven't been doing much of that salt thing here lately, right? But notice something very important. Pure salt never loses its saltiness. It doesn't wear out. It's interesting they put an expiration date on salt cans. You go to the grocery store and buy one because the government says they have to put an expiration date on it, but it never really expires. It doesn't even really go bad ever. It's still salt. Right? Pure salt doesn't lose its saltiness. What Jesus is describing is salt that's been so mixed with impurities that what's left isn't salt anymore. Like, for instance, put salt with liver. You just made it so impure that you can't eat either thing. I know some of you actually like liver out there, don't you? Yeah, well, I'm not one of those people, right? The danger isn't that Christians fail to be impressive enough. The danger is that we stop being distinct. We stop being salty. We stop being someone who makes a difference for other people. We stop sharing Jesus' love. We get tired of it sometimes. We think that we're not being useful. People aren't responding. They're not coming to faith in Jesus fast enough. They don't come to our Lutheran church. Okay. Do they believe in Jesus? Are they trying to follow him the best they can? Take that into account. Because they need Jesus. You need Jesus. We all need Jesus. I had a chance to talk with Jeff for a little while last night. We had a good evening of visiting last night with the Federkeys. And when I was in the kitchen kind of getting ready for this morning, and I was telling Jeff this story, and it's not actually in my message, but it is a part of what being salty and being light is. Many years ago, and most of you probably, at least most of you from Zion here, knew Irene, my mother-in-law. And when Irene was still in a memory center over in the Cleveland area, close to where Gwen and I lived in Strongsville, there was a lady there. Her name was Ruth, and I'd open every night when we would leave. We'd always leave about the same time, and I'd hold the door for Ruth, and if it was winter, I'd walk her to her car because she was old and kind of frail. Her husband, Dave, was there, and when Dave died, I conducted his funeral, and I did aftercare with Ruth just like I did the members of my church. I didn't really know Ruth before. And I was visiting her after her husband had passed, and I said, "So, Ruth," I said, "how's your faith?" She goes, "Well, I don't really believe in Jesus." She goes, I don't really think Christianity is the answer. And I said, "Well, why would you think that?" She goes, "When I was a kid, my parents sent us all to the closest school to our house, which was a Catholic school." She goes, "And they told us every day Jesus loved us." And then the nuns would wrap you across the knuckles with their rulers. She goes, I would go home with my knuckles bleeding. She goes, "They would spank us." And she goes, "How can this Jesus that loves me so much allow these people to treat me that way?" And we talked, and we talked some more. I spent 8 years working on Ruth, or nearly that. Anybody know Pastor Bernath? Lives over in Napoleon now, Gary Bernath? He used to be in Strongsville, Ohio. He lived next door to Ruth and her husband, Dave. 18 years he told Ruth about Jesus. She wasn't interested in this Christianity thing because of the Catholic school experience. And one day Ruth's daughter called and she goes, "Gary, I need for you to come and visit Mom. We're going to have to put her in hospice. It's not looking good." And she goes, "Can you try one more time to talk to her about Jesus?" We were in the car, Gwen and I were in the car on our way over to Henry County from Cleveland. And I said, "I can't come today," but I said, "I've got a friend that will come, Pastor Jim." Pastor Jim was a very dear friend. And Jim went and visited Ruth right as she was being admitted to hospice and had a nice conversation with her. And I'm at my sister's house and my phone rings and it's Jim, Pastor Jim. "Gary, I visited Ruth." I said, "Okay," and I'm thinking he's telling me that she's passed already or something, right? He says, "I asked her just point blank, do you believe in Jesus Christ as the only way for your salvation?" She said, "Yes, I do." He goes, "And you believe that Jesus has forgiven all your sins through his death and resurrection?" She said, "Yes, I do." He goes, "Would you like to be baptized?" She said, "Yes. Gary can do it when he gets back in town." Jim said, "Get your butt home. She may not make it till you get back in town." And I baptized her at about 6 o'clock in the morning, laying in her bed in hospice, and she died that day. She knew Jesus. Took forever. My first phone call was Gary Bernath. 18 years he spent. At the funeral, her brother says to me, "I need to talk to you. I really need to talk to you." And I'm like, "Oh, boy. I said something wrong. I did something." Because it was the only funeral I've ever preached that I didn't prepare a message. I just told the story of the time I'd spent with her. And her brother comes up to me and he goes, "I came today to my older sister's funeral, because I thought that would be the last time I would ever see her, that she would not be in heaven with me." He says, "I've worked on her for 40 years to believe in Jesus." And he says, "Because of what you said today, I know I will see her again in heaven." Be salt, be light, be persistent. Don't give up on telling others about Jesus. You don't know when that message is going to take hold. But when Christ grabs someone's heart, he grabs it. And he doesn't let go. And sometimes it's a neighbor, that crotchety neighbor. And all of a sudden they know Jesus and things are different. Because God doesn't show partiality. He loves us all. He loves that crotchety neighbor. Be salt. Be light. Be different for the sake of others so that they can see Jesus in you. That's the whole point of being light. I don't know what the child's name is. You see in the dark. That's what light's for. So people that live in a dark world can see Jesus through you. That's what it's about, being light. Salt doesn't lose its purpose. Salt doesn't decide what it's for. But you ever know, salt doesn't get any choice about whether you put it on a hamburger or on your sidewalk to melt ice, right? Your Christian life flows out of what Christ has already made you to be in baptism. By the way, you're holy, you're forgiven, you're set apart. You are a child of God. And when you've been baptized into Christ, both into his death and his resurrection, that's the greatest thing you can call yourself ever, is I'm a child of God, saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And take Paul, for example. He doesn't rely on eloquence, really, or clever thoughts or human wisdom. He preaches Christ crucified. Is that the message we have for those around us? Not Christ as a moral teacher, not Christ as an inspirational example, but Christ crucified. The Son of God nailed to a cross for sinners, for the Corinthians, for you, for me. And here's the wisdom of God that hidden in what looks like foolishness, because, right, it looks like foolishness to unbelievers. The power of God is disguised as weakness. At the cross, God does what no human being could ever imagine. He saves sinners by bearing their sin himself. That's you. That's me. That's every one of us. Is anybody out here that's never sinned? Because I'd like to actually meet you. Okay, I'd love to have a conversation with you and ask you how you live that way, because I've probably sinned 100 times already today. Although I will say, Jeff makes a good cup of coffee, which was a great way to start the day, right? Jesus Christ was crucified for you. Your sins were placed on him, and your death became his death, and his righteousness and his life and his forgiveness were all given to you freely, and they're given when he died on that cross and he rose again. It was for every living human being, every dead human being, because he died for all people of all time, past, present, future. And this isn't discovered by our reason or by our thinking. It's revealed to us. Christ reveals himself to us. It's not our minds. Going back to college for 4 more years or the next degree won't help you know that. Being in God's word, that'll help. These things God has revealed to us through the Holy Spirit. It's always the work of the Holy Spirit. I shared with Bible study class this morning, I shared it at our church back in Michigan a couple of weeks ago. Anybody that wonders, because they say you look pretty comfortable up front, my stomach's doing this. Every once in a while it decides to switch directions and do that. I hate speaking in front of people. I mean, some of you knew me a long time ago. I'm very gregarious and outgoing and all of that, but that's not in a public, because like you're all here hopefully paying some attention to me right now. But it's hard. And Paul's calling and my calling and your calling is a calling for the rest of your life. So here's the fact of the matter, right? You're done doing ministry and sharing Jesus. In the olden days, it would have been until 6 men are carrying you across the cemetery. Now, a lot of people are cremated today, so I don't know what that looks like exactly. The point is, until the day you draw your last breath here on earth, you're salt and you're light. The calling that we have is for the rest of our lives. And for many of you who may, like me, be retired, because technically I'm retired now, God has called you and me to share the good news of Jesus from the moment of our calling until our life on earth is over. And right after I retired, I went to this seminar for retired pastors, and it just happened that it fell there on the calendar. And the speaker talked about living life in the fourth quarter. You're retired. Many of us are in our fourth quarter of life. Well, if you're playing football, W, you used to play volleyball, right? You don't stop playing when it's getting close to the end of the game. You play until the game's over, until the final buzzer sounds. You play the fourth quarter out when there's 7 minutes left on the clock. You play the last 7 minutes, win or lose. Well, we're losing. Let's go home, and you walk away from the game. No, you play until the game's over. We need to play life, our Christian life, until the game is over, until God calls us home. And that's what God wants us to do with sharing the gospel, for sure. He kind of shifts the image from salt, of course, then to you are the light of the world. And again, not you should be light, you are light. And light doesn't really strain, although I did notice when I turned that flashlight on this morning, it was a little bright, a little brighter than I was anticipating, right? It doesn't shout, it simply shines. It's light. And Jesus says to his people who are very much aware of their own weaknesses and their fear and their sin, and he tells us something crucial, I think. The light's not coming from their moral strength, not coming from your moral strength, it's coming from him. And John's gospel says this: the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. That light is Christ. And now, astonishingly, he said that those who belong to him share in that light. And that doesn't mean we do it to draw attention to ourselves. That's probably another thing that I'm afraid of when I stand up and preach and I tell stories about my own life sometimes, and it's like, it's not about me. It's also not about you, okay? It's about Jesus. It's about sharing him. It's about being his light. So it doesn't mean that we try to draw attention to ourselves. He just says that when you belong to him, you share the light. Let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. That's not glory for you. It's not admiration for the church. It's glory to the Father. And what do good works look like? Well, they look like lots of things, right? Isaiah helps us out here in today's Old Testament lesson, where God rebukes a people who think worship is about appearances while ignoring their neighbor in need. True fasting, true faith, looks like mercy and justice and care for the hungry and the oppressed. And this is very critical right here. Those works that we do not create light. They reveal it. We reveal the light of Christ. Anybody know anything about jewelers? They have that little Bunsen burner. There's always a Bunsen burner in a jewelry store. And they hold the silver up over it, and they run it back and forth. Gold, they do the same thing. How long do they keep the silver there, by the way? Anybody know what the answer to that question is? How long does a jeweler hold the silver over the fire, or the gold, either one? Until it's reflecting their face at them. Jesus holds us to the fire sometimes until we reflect him out to others. Because there's a lot of impurity. Some of us need to be at the fire a lot longer than others. St. Paul says the same thing in the epistle reading, right? He refuses to rely on eloquence or human wisdom so that faith would rest not on people but on the power of God. The Christian life is never about proving ourselves. We don't have anything to prove. It's about pointing things away from us and to Jesus. Give God the glory in the successes of life, if you will. And finally, Jesus says he has not come to abolish the law and the prophets, but to fulfill them. That's the foundation under everything else, that Jesus came to fulfill the law of God. And before Jesus tells us who we are, he tells us who he is. He's the one who fulfills the law that we could not keep. He's the one who embodies perfect righteousness. He's the one who becomes salt for a tasteless world and light for a dark world. And then, only then, he gives that identity to us. So when you love your neighbor, when you forgive, when you serve quietly, when you speak truth with humility, these are not attempts to earn God's favor. They are the natural result of living in the light of Christ and then reflecting that out to others. So, dear saints of Zion Lutheran Church, Ridgeville Corners, Ohio, you are all salt. and everyone else that's gathered here today too, right? You are light, not because you're strong, but because Christ is faithful. Not because you shine so brightly, but because his light has been given to you. So don't hide out of fear. Don't turn it into a burden of some sort. Simply live as those who have already been rescued from darkness, so that the world, seeing that light, may give glory to the Father who sent his Son for you. Be the salt and light that God has made you to be. In the precious name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all human understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. I invite you all to please stand as together we confess our faith through the words of the Apostles' Creed. If you need the words, they're inside the back cover of the hymnal. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth,
and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please be seated as we sing our offering hymn. Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Give counsel and aid, O Lord, for your people. Cry to you in weakness and in need. Bless and prosper your church according to your purpose, that she may be salt and light, giving bold witness to the redemption that you have provided in Jesus Christ, and giving shape to your love by showing compassion to all in need. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Bless our synod, her congregations and schools, her pastors, teachers, deaconesses, musicians, and all her faithful servants. Bless all preparations for the coming convention this summer, especially those gathering nominations for elected office. Send laborers into your harvest and sustain those whom you have sent, that they may be faithful and steadfast in their work. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O God, give your blessing to our homes, to husbands and wives, to the children in their care, and to extended family. Guide us to serve each other in love. Make our homes places of blessing and peace, where your word is spoken. Forgiveness is shown and love is demonstrated in word and deed. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Holy God, according to your wisdom, you establish rulers for this age for a time. Remember Donald Trump, our president, Mike DeWine, our governor, and all those you have placed in authority, that they might fulfill their duties with wisdom. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Merciful Lord, give healing to the sick, relief to the suffering, comfort to the grieving, and peace to those dying. Especially this day, we pray for Roger, Don and Alice, Margaret, Bernetta, Gary, Deb, Bill, Kim, Andrew and Michelle, Brandy, Heather, Jama, Judy, Kyle, Marilyn, Renee, Michelle, Diana, Deb, Carolyn, Christine, Jordan, Callie, and Aubrey. According to your will, deliver them from their afflictions, sustain them in their struggles, and give them patience in their adversities. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Almighty God, endow us with the mind of Christ by the work of your Spirit, so that we do not dismiss your gifts as folly, but judge and discern all things according to your wisdom. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
All these things we pray, O Lord, in confidence of your mercy. Supply us with all things needed and beneficial for us and to our faith. And keep from us all things harmful, that we may rest our fears in you and be granted a clear conscience and peace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come.
Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread.
And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated as we sing.
In the cross of Christ I glory, towering o'er the wrecks of time.